Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ben Fennell from The Athletic on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Ben, thanks for joining us.
Always. And with the Huey Lewis lead-in, man, all's right in the world.
Okay, yeah, right. So let's get to Burns of Florida State, man. This is what I'm going to say. And I tweeted it out that you switched me on Burns because Gary Ellerson's not here today, neither is Baby Tausch, but Gary and I kind of both in the same boat here. You start talking about Florida State, outside linebackers, defensive linemen, and stuff like that. You just get scared with draft history. Jamal Reynolds has been on this team. You just get scared about touching them. But you start watching the tape that you keep tweeting out and seeing your analysis, it's tough not to like this dude.
You know, the biggest concern with Brian Burns was that he was playing around 220, 225 during the season at Florida State. So Everybody had these concerns if he could hang out on the edge as a 4-3 defensive end in an NFL defense. All of a sudden, he shows up to the combine at 249. Concerns kind of put to rest there. We saw the movement patterns and the explosiveness in the open field. He could still go through the drills as a very nimble, explosive athlete. But as an edge rusher, he's not just a guy that wants to run around tackles. So you work in the hand usage, the pass rush plan, with the flexibility, the athleticism, the great first step, the motor. Now we have something really special here. So he's just really put together the full package from what I want as somebody hunting quarterbacks off the edge in Green Bay.
So you're sitting at 12, and he's there, but you also have, say, Jonah Williams from Alabama, the offensive lineman, is sitting there too. Which way are you going?
I think I'm sprinting that card in if Brian Burns is sitting there at 12. And I know there's some buyer beware from these Florida State defenders. Now, I've been with the Philadelphia Eagles the past couple years. Let me tell you.
You've been through it.
We brought in Timmy Jernigan. We brought in Nigel Bradham. We brought in Ronald Darby. Some of these Florida State defenders are just wired a little bit differently, that they don't make them like that around the rest of the country. They have a little bit of attitude to them, a little bit of swagger. And, you know, sometimes those locker rooms need that.
Yeah, Ben, the thing about safety, I mean, I like Jonathan Abrams. You know, I like the fact that maybe a couple of those guys may be available. What do you think about as safety for the Packers, maybe in the second round, because they really need safety help?
Yeah, I think on day two is an ideal kind of landing spot to go get one of these cover safeties, is what I call them. And I think the NFL is kind of leaning away from that undersized nickel role and a little bit more to what we call the big nickel with three safeties on the field. And having one of those safeties that can cover for you is everything. So he's not a size liability like an undersized nickel who's usually an undersized corner, but rather a safety that can tackle, that can hold his ground in the run game, stick his nose in, but has some coverage abilities. And this draft is just littered with them, whether it's Chauncey Gardner-Johnson from Florida or Darnell Savage from Maryland. You have Imani Hooker, who's a really high football IQ player from Iowa. There's just these cover safeties all over the place. Juan Thornhill, like you were mentioning, Jonathan Abram, Nasir Adderley from Delaware. All these guys ran in the 4.4s. Most of them have cornerback experience. I just think that's the position that most defensive coordinators are looking for. I know it's a little bit of a hybridish safety linebacker, but with a little bit more of a defensive back pedigree to him.
Yeah, tell me a little bit, Ben, about this the Metcalf kid who put up all these great numbers. I think he's been a little banged up, but the size, the speed, everything that you want. And then Gruden said a quote, I can't imagine anybody trying to tackle this guy. Or is he a Mike Mamula type, just a workout, but won't pan out?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly some concerns. He, you know, wasn't really on the field consistently for Ole Miss. Some of the comments about their offense are a little bit alarming that he's made in the offseason. Him and A.J. Brown said they have some plays where it's just get open. They don't even have design routes. So converting this to an NFL route tree, change of direction routes, comebacks, digs, slants, in-breakers, things like that are going to be a concern. Right now, I see him as a linear, straight-line freak show. I don't think he's Calvin. I don't think he's Julio Jones. He's a little bit more rocked up and doesn't really have that change of direction or the flexibility that those guys had. But if he's just a stop-and-a-go guy right now, he's still a pretty dangerous weapon. You want to get the ball in his hands. You want to test cornerbacks if they can turn a run, handle him at the catch point. And like you were saying with Gruden, what cornerbacks want to tackle this guy. So he certainly has a skill set and a talent right now. I'm very interested to see how that translates to a full NFL route tree. I just can't imagine somebody passing on this guy between 10 and 20 in the first round. He's just too intriguing of a prospect.
Yeah, another guy, Steve, I asked you about as a linebacker that Steve likes. I don't know if he'll be there at 12, but because I was shocked at his cone drills. It was very slow, like you indicated, and that may pull teams off of it. But what about inside linebacker? Gary wanted me to ask you about Sweat. I don't think he'll be there, but who's the other guy you like?
Devin Smith.
Devin Smith. What about maybe those two guys if they're around 12?
So you're talking the Devins, like Devin White, Devin Bush?
Yeah, Devin right. White, yeah.
Gotcha. So first of all, if I could just address this whole three-cone phenomenon that's kind of taken place for the last 3 and 4 years. They start to do the three-cone, the 20-yard shuttle, and the 60-yard shuttle at the very end of the day in the workouts. And I've just seen more and more players opting out of doing these drills, and I've seen more and more players going through these tests not full speed and not looking like they're completely into it. There's the same thing that happened to Dalvin Cook 2 or 3 years ago where he put up a really crappy three-cone. DK Metcalf did. Not giving any excuse or saying that, you know, these guys are dogging it. It's just at the very end of a very long day, and there's some kind of eye-popping numbers that are coming out with these drills that it's just not quite what I'm seeing on tape. Some guys that are testing really poorly, I didn't see that on the film. But there are some concerning times, and we'll go back and check out the tape. But when you talk inside linebacker, man, I would love to see one of these explosive linebackers just roam the middle of the defense for Green Bay, something we have never seen, the explosiveness and the range of a Devin White from LSU, who actually was the number one running back recruit in the country going to LSU. But when you have Darius Geis and Leonard Fournette in the backfield, they kind of look for where else you can help out the team. This is just a level of athlete and explosiveness I've never seen in Green Bay. We've always kind of rather had that heavier downhill player, whether it's A.J. Hawk or Desmond Bishop or D.J. Smith style of players. I would just love to see a more of a playmaker in the middle of the field, not a volume tackle machine, but someone that makes plays, an explosive athlete. When he sees it, he hits it, and he gets to the ball carrier violently. He wants to rip that ball out and plays with an attitude. And there's a couple of these inside linebackers. It's not the deepest position in the draft, but there are some intriguing ones. And if you want one, you better go get one early.
I want to go back to what you were saying earlier about these cover safeties and how many of them there are and how, you know, they're plentiful, I guess you could say, in this draft. Listening to you go that way, it makes me think that then a Landon Collins would be a very intriguing piece, depending on how much money you want to spend. A guy's going to play up closer to the line and be in the box because you can still draft the guy to go with him in the draft itself.
Yeah, you know, and what they do in free agency obviously will give a clearer picture to their priorities in the draft, but you do need to weigh the depth of the positions in the draft versus who's available in free agency. And if they go and get a veteran like a Landon Collins or a Tyrann Mathieu or an Adrian Amos from Chicago to pair with one of these mid to late round guys, I just think it's really deep in the draft, and it's a position I would like to see them get someone in free agency and, like you're saying, pair a young guy in with them. I don't think it's anything we want to be too aggressive in the first round and going to get. I think there's some intriguing, deep value on day two and day three at the safety position.
What about edge rusher? Because everybody's going to freak out, I think, if Clay Matthews and Nick Perry are both returning at outside linebacker next year.
You know, I'm just worried about edge rusher because all these free agents that we thought were going to be available are getting scooped up and tagged left and right. And if we're not going to be intrigued with the Anthony Barrs and Preston Smiths and maybe Shaq Barrett to the world in free agency, it's not the deepest position in the draft. And if you want that marquee player at the top, whether it's a Burns or a Cleon Farrell or Montez Sweat or even a Ja'Kai Polite, man, all these guys are going to go in the top 50. So whether it's 12 or whether it's 30, I just think one of those positions has to be an edge rusher. I'm just not seeing the depth in free agency or on day two and day three of the draft to find some intriguing value. I think that's a position they need to be aggressive with and go get it if they see it available.
He is Ben Fennell of The Athletic. Does absolutely
job,
great work, unmatched stuff there. And follow him on Twitter as well. Ben, thanks so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, fellas.
You bet you. Take care. There he is, Ben Fennell on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.